Stevie Nicks is my other spirit animal, so there's that.
I think most days my spirit animal is a squirrel.
All the little parts are what make us whole.
Tell me what's making you twitch about that word.
Fine, I'll just do it.
Hi, I'm Laura.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Kim.
This is Nikki.
And I'm Louise.
Hi, and welcome to the Best Parts podcast, where we invite you to pull up a chair and think about your best parts, which are all your parts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome here to our table today. I am so happy you could join us for this episode number 5. So pull up a chair, or if you've been inspired to bring more movement into your life lately, maybe this is the episode you strap on your sneakers or jump on your bike for the next half hour or so. Today, we're going to be turning the tables a little and shining the spotlight on our very own harmonious life coach, Kim Romaine. You will recognize Kim's voice here on the Best Parts podcast as she welcomes you each week to pull up a chair. Kim is a former practicing attorney, consultant, and nonprofit executive. And besides the Best Parts podcast, Kim is creator of Harmonious Life Coaching and the Balance is BS training program. She helps individuals and groups see how focusing on work-life balance can create stress, burnout, and disconnection. She then transforms her clients by getting them to create a more harmonious and integrated life through releasing stuck and stagnant belief patterns and setting healthy boundaries. So, hey, Kim.
Hey, Louise.
So glad we get a chance here today to chat with you a little more. I'm super excited.
Me too. Yay.
So I was thinking one of the first times you and I had connected after our retreat, we were on a call with a bunch of other coaching professionals. And this call really stood out for me as during the call, we were kind of talking and sharing about our philosophies and how we would work those philosophies and values into our programs and our offerings. And I remember you with such resounding passion say, balance is bullshit. And I was like, what is she talking about? Because I felt like I always had been striving for that balance. And here you were saying it's something different. And I was wondering if you could just speak into that a little bit. Because I remember it blowing my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it blew my mind when I finally had the aha moment that this is actually the truth that I live in. So many years ago, I was just trying to balance everything. If I just did the work-life balance thing, if I just got that under control, if I just figured that out, then everything would be fine. I had a newborn, I was just out of practicing law and just new into the nonprofit sector and working my tail off day and night and never feeling like this balance thing took anything into consideration with what my life actually meant to me. And I had this wonderful coach one time, and all she did was ask me, what would happen if you didn't live in balance? And it was like I woke up. It was all of a sudden I went, wait, what? That's an option? I don't have to live in balance? And I started really diving into, well, what does the word mean to me? For myself and almost everybody I know, balance has caused more stress, more anxiety, more depression, more tension, and it just doesn't work. I like to give the analogy of like, we need balance at certain points in our lives, right? If we're trying to do tree pose, which I'm horrible at, but if we're trying, you know, any of the balancing poses, those are important, right? Like we need the balance, but balance creates tension in our body. Balance creates that. And that's what we want because it creates the flexibility. It creates the strength that we need. And that's great, but it doesn't work for the way we live our lives. That's what I found anyway.
Yeah, I love that because, you know, like you said, as a working parent or just in life in general, I always feel like there's these buckets to fill and there's a teeter-totter and there's work on one side and life on the other. And we're constantly trying to get this teeter-totter to be in balance, to be at this flat, unmoving level.
Mm-hmm. Well, Louise, I love the teeter-totter analogy, because I just pictured you like on one side running to the other and running to the other and kind of stopping in the middle. You know how you would balance one foot on each side trying to find the middle, but you never stopped moving to try to get to that middle. Like it was never, you never got a stop point. It's always adjusting.
Exhausting, right? Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly it. And it is exhausting. And the thing that has always kind of blown my mind when we think about this, it's work and everything else in your life. You talked about 90,000 hours of work.
Yep.
So 90,000 hours of work and the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Like that number still makes my stomach go, oh.
It does with me as well. And yet I'm like, wait, for me, it's what? Yes, I want to be doing something for work that I love so much it doesn't feel like work. Absolutely. But the reality is I'm here on this planet for so much more than the work that I do. And I feel like it's been discounted because it's work and the rest of your life.
Right.
Do we get 90,000 hours for the rest of our lives too, Louise? Because I'm thinking about that too. I love this concept of balance is BS. And I've always agreed with this, Kim. There are moments in your life that you might feel in balance for a little bit, but I just think it's an unattainable goal. And I completely agree with what you're saying. And one of the things I've always heard is, you know, like they say that work-life balance, it just makes me feel nauseous because it's not possible. So I've always said work-life blend, and that just sits with me better. And I feel like that kind of goes into what you're saying about creating harmony. So I really appreciate hearing this. And I can't wait to figure out how I'm going to spend the other 90,000 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting that you said work-life blend, because really when I'm talking about living a harmonious life, I'm talking about living an integrated life. It can't be work and the rest of our life. You can't just silo out this part of life that we call work and then expect the rest of our life to be quote unquote balanced. It just doesn't work. I know that when I focus on that, when I'm like, okay, has everybody gotten enough time? Not even equal time, right? Because equal time can't even happen. But especially if you're talking about 90,000 hours of work and then the rest of your life filling up the rest of it. It's like Louise said, it's all these different buckets and making sure that each of those buckets gets a little bit of your attention. The only way to do it is to stop siloing things and to really start integrating. And I think we've had this really cool opportunity. Many of us have had this really cool opportunity to play with this a little bit more. And I understand it stressed a lot of people out during this time of quarantine and during COVID-19, where a lot of people have been working from home. They have their kids home. They're, you know, helping with remote learning. They're doing all of this stuff. And I get that it's stressful. And if we weren't trying to look at our lives in these siloed buckets and you start looking at it as integration and start taking stock of all of the amazing things that you're able to do during the day, you'd feel less stressful. I know that I do.
So I'm really confused now. I have a part of me that's scared because I've lived with this idea of work-life balance all of my 50 odd years. And so I want to hear more about this integration thing because I have parts that are like, what do you mean I can't do this? This is what I've been working towards all of my life. Tell me what to do, Kim. Tell me what to do.
Oh, a little part. I just want to hug you. So what do we do to integrate our lives? There's a lot of logistical things that we have to do. I had to get rid of separate planners and separate notebooks. I had to truly integrate my lives. Now, some people that's not going to work for because their brains, that's going to confuse their brains, and that's totally fine. But what worked for me and what I have my clients play with is, do you have separate calendars? Do you have separate notebooks? Do you have separate planners? Do you have separate planning time where you're parsing out and siloing out the different parts of your life? If you are, then you're not looking at yourself holistically. And what you need to shift to is having an opportunity to holistically look at how you're showing up in your life. So one of the tools that I like working with that very early on with somebody is this concept of to-do and got done. And it's a side-by-side list that you put out on your desk every day. And on your to-do side, you brain dump in the morning all the things that you have to do that day, whether they're on your calendar or not. It's all those things that you have to do. On the other column, you have the got done. And the got done is as you're crossing the things off on your to-do list that you've accomplished that day, you write those on your got done. The other things that you put on your got done, you know, for me, it's when my daughter comes upstairs and needs help with an assignment or needs help logging in, or I end up going down a rabbit hole with somebody in email. I put that on my got done because I spent time doing that. And quite frankly, during times of quarantine, I also put on their shower. There are days where I'm in a really bad mood and I put got done, I laughed. Because hell yeah, that can be an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I've always said that. I love this, Kim, because I've done this before where there's days that I'm at work and I have a to-do list that sits on my desk all the time. So I just, because I try to stay super organized. And there's days I've looked at my list and I'm like, I didn't do anything on that list. Mm-hmm. And instead then I would write down everything I've done just so I can check it off. So I could be like, I did get things done today. So I love the side-by-side list. That's a really cool visual.
Yeah, I thought I was the only one that did that, that actually went back and said, oh, let me write down so I can check it off.
Right. I love it.
Yeah, because it can be so defeating, right? And all of our parts can get really depressed and upset, and our inner critic can come out and be so mean to us when we think that we haven't gotten anything done. Like, oh, I just wasted another day. When you didn't, no day is a waste. Even if you chose to nap, it's not a waste. Like, we need that.
Yeah. And, you know, Kim, I really love this idea too. It's not that we're not focusing on a role or on a task. When you talk about busting open these silos, it's not that we're not focused on accomplishments or goals. It's that we're looking at it from a bird's eye view. Mm-hmm. And looking at all of the roles that we play and all of the things that we do all at once. It's not, I'm just this person, right? I am just an executive, or I'm just a mom, or we're not just anything. We're all of it.
Yeah. It's like taking each of those buckets and pouring it into a swimming pool. So it's all together.
Mm-hmm. I have a big picture brain. If I try to compartmentalize my schedule, my brain is like, but all this is over here, but all this is over here, but all this is in this pocket. And if I don't know what I have to do over here, how do I know what I have to do here? And so I love the to-do, and I call it the to-done list when I do it, because it just helps me feed that part of my brain that wants to see all of the things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so important. We are whole beings. We are not siloed beings. And the more we silo out our parts, and especially as a working mom, and I know this impacts everybody, but especially as a working mom, we tend to silo ourselves even further. Like, I can only be mom now. And I can, like, we talk about changing hats, and we talk, you know, my clients are always talking about all the plates they're spinning, all the balls in the air, all the, you know, it's all the stuff. And it still considers all of it as these singular points. And while they may be temporarily, you know, if I'm super focused on one thing, that's great. You know, I still have that ability to do it, but it doesn't mean the rest of it is all gone. It all still exists and it needs to be cared for. And so that integrated living is really pulling all of those together and looking at them together and figuring out how to manage our days, our times, with all of that in mind.
It was interesting earlier you talked about in quarantine, and I feel like quarantine has shown us how integrated our lives actually are.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like you're talking about, like, you're upstairs and you're working and your daughter has to come up to ask you something. Well, you know, maybe when you're actually at the office, you can ignore it, right? It's different now. You know, all of it is integrated. And I think physically we're seeing that, you know, everything is kind of, I don't know, I just feel like it's a different feeling. I think when we go back to whatever the hell normal life is going to be after this, we'll notice that. I just think more people might understand harmonious living.
Well, there's a big part of me that doesn't want to go back to whatever normal was,
right?
Because I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is, it wasn't that I spent the 8 hours at my job not thinking about all the other things that she needed, or dealt with, oh, I need to get my car taken care of. I need to go to the dentist. She needs to go to the dentist. I need to order something for the house. I need to go grocery shopping. I need to do my meal planning. I need to think about when I'm next. Like, it's constant. You can even hear in my voice how, right? It's that rapid fire thing, because it never stops. And so even if we're just sitting doing one task, our brains are still processing all the other stuff that we have to do. And so if we start bringing it in, we're actually creating more space in our brains to be more focused and to be more productive. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's yeah. Like when you fight your brain, it just screams louder.
Yeah, totally.
And so for me, when I'm trying to ignore something, it's just louder and bigger and bigger and louder until it's almost like an explosion, like, fine, I'll just do it. And then I get distracted.
I would say that's a part. That's a part. We all know that ignoring them is never a good thing.
Ignoring when emotion comes up, when parts come up, when that little nagging voice in your head comes up, ignoring it is just going to make it louder. You either have to write it down, say, I'll talk to you later. You have to do something, right, to be able to move through it.
It's certainly a better answer than just trying to ignore it. So I have a question, Kim. I don't have kids, so I don't have that whole additional layer of complexity in my life is what I'm going to call it, because I know that that word is not adequate. But the thought, if I were a mom and I had kids and I had all of my tasks in different places, or all of my to-do lists in different places as it related to my job, to keeping the house, to taking care of the kids, I'm thinking possibly that the thought of trying to put all those together would be overwhelming. How can you help people not feel overwhelmed as you wanting them to look more holistically at their lives?
Yeah, so overwhelm is part of it, right? Where we start from overwhelm very often because we have so many different things in front of us and we don't always know how to focus our attention. So sometimes we're already coming from a place of overwhelm. But absolutely true is pulling it all together can feel like a whole new level, and there can be a lot of resistance to actually looking at it that way. And so we take it in bite-sized pieces. It's not necessarily sitting down with all of their calendars at once. We work up to that. We have them play with that. So if it's not something that's going to work for them, right? If they are somebody who having it all in front of them feels scary, we're going to work with those feelings and start to release some of that resistance before diving in and saying, okay, put it all together, because that would be jarring.
I love that you work with the resistance and the emotions that come up with that. I think often with clients, working with the resistance is probably something we all do across the board, regardless of what our specialty is. And I love that you work with them to figure out what's behind the resistance and to deal with the emotion that's coming up around it. So I like that.
Thanks. Yeah, I describe myself as pragmatically woo-woo. So I will absolutely help with the logistics, the organization, help figure out all of that. I can feel really comfortable in a business setting. You know, I've been a business executive, so I understand all of that and can speak that language and walk that walk. But I will also take you to the place where feelings, where we have those somatic experiences, where we start to unpack what the resistance is, what the fear is, what the feelings and emotions are coming up around it, and let you lean into that, because that's where we're going to see the greatest shifts in our lives. Every time I start to get overwhelmed, because I'm a human being, I get overwhelmed. I have these ebbs and flows. I pull out my tools, and my tools include, yes, getting all my lists in place, but it also includes doing some deep energy work. It involves working with my emotions. It involves working with my parts. So I think you have to, again, it's holistic. We're people, we're human beings.
And it's also having all of these different tools, because what you need one thing, one crisis, one emotion, one breakdown isn't necessarily what you're going to need exactly next time. So, you know, maybe you like the smell of lavender in one day, and the next day you're like, no, definitely not. So just having all of these different things you can access really will serve you in the moment. But knowing what those are is important.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And I love all these tools, as well as this, you know, as we come out of overwhelm and we begin to see things more clearly, that really this integrated living and this life is all about being in choice.
100% about intentional choice. We get to choose, we get to make our choices. We get to choose things all the time. It is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. I am the first person to tell you none of this work is easy. It's hard work, and it is ongoing for the rest of your life work. Like I just said, a month ago, I totally fell apart, and it took me 2 weeks to pull myself out of it, but I had the tools And I made the choice. And every day I made the choice to work on it. And I've gotten myself back to a much better place. And the next time I fall down, I will make a different choice. You know, that's what we have to do every time. We have to make those choices.
Well, and even remembering that we're in choice can be hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you're feeling hopeless, when you're feeling challenged, it's like, oh, there's so much happening around me. I don't know what to do. And when we tell ourselves we don't know what to do, our brain is like, yep, we don't know what to do. We're stuck. It's not our fault. It's not our problem. We just are here. But when I know for me, when I take a moment to say, how can I be in choice here? What can I do to change the situation, to remove myself, to rest? What do I need here so that I am in choice? Because that's what's empowering to me. That's what helps me walk through whatever is happening.
Totally agree with that too. And I've always felt that a lot of times we make passive choices. We don't even realize that we're making choices. It's just like, this is the way I've always done it. And you forget when you wake up, you're like, I have a choice to do this, this, or this. I wonder if you can tell us more about how you would work with a client that way, Kim, when you have someone coming to you and they're totally overwhelmed. And how do you introduce choice to them and using their choices to change their life?
Yeah, so it's very much like the coach who worked with me it's a simple question of, do you need to feel that way? Do you need to think that way? So if the thought is, I should be behaving this way because this is how I was raised, the simple question is that what you have to believe? Is there another option? And very often just asking that simple question puts people back on their heels. They're like, what? No, but I should believe this because this is how I was raised. I don't know any other way to think. And you just, it's a simple, curious question of, but is there another way? And there's no right or wrong, right? That's the really amazing and beautiful thing is we are all here on this earth to live the lives we choose to live. And we make unconscious choices every day, but we can totally choose differently.
I completely agree with that. And I love the common theme we've had throughout our first couple episodes where we've talked about this, like bite-sized pieces with movement and with your career and with your parts work. And, you know, now we're hearing it from you again. And I just love like our common theme throughout is all the little parts are what make us whole. And I love hearing it again in a different way, especially for working moms. You know, I don't have kids either. And I couldn't imagine having to balance kids as well. And then having you say, well, you don't have to balance it. It just blends together. And I just love it. Thank you for sharing all of this with us.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you talked about all of our parts because, right, they're all the best parts.
Yep.
Kim, I was going to say, I really want to circle back and honor that you were willing to share with us that you'd had a tough time. You know, that's not easy to admit to a bunch of listeners. And I appreciate your willingness to be that vulnerable with us. And I also love that you mentioned that you have some tools that allow you to figure it out and how to move forward. And so I'm curious, what did you realize as you were struggling that would help you? Which of the tools worked the best? How did you reach out for support? Can you share a little bit about what that process was like?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thank you for asking. I deeply believe that those of us that have made those shifts, if we start talking about them, if we share them, which means sharing the not so pretty parts of our lives and how we work through it, I think that that can be something that's encouraging to other people. I never want my story to be something that somebody, you know, measures themselves against because that's unfair. Like I said before, each of us has our own lives. And so for me, what I was called back into, and I alluded to it a little bit earlier, was my energy work. So through meditation, doing Reiki, and just really tuning into my energy body, it allowed me to process through, and it was truly not pretty, but it was, you know, it was primal screams. It was asking my family to go out in the backyard so they couldn't hear me sobbing for as long as I needed to sob. It was turning on music that let me move my body in a very primal way that just moved the energy through. And so that was the first step for me. Because for me, what was coming up was a lot of anger. And I don't deal well with anger, either receiving it or putting it out into the world. But I really needed to process that anger. And so I used my energy body in that way to process it through and get to the other side. And then once I got to the other side, I had to start rebuilding, and creating some daily rituals around that has really helped me realign myself and allow me to be fully there for my clients, for my family, for myself in a way that is, I'm going to use the word authentic, although I don't love that word, but that's really the only word that I can think of.
We need to invent a new word.
We do.
We do. I feel like I get like a little twitch.
Why is that, ladies? Why do you not, tell me what's making you twitch about that word?
For me, I feel like people use authentic in a way that isn't authentic.
Exactly.
That's what it is. And yes. So when I use it, I'm like him. I'm like, I don't like this word, but this is the word I'm using very mindfully right here.
Yeah. And it's usually because there really isn't another word, but it has become such a catchphrase. You know, it's so funny because when I talk about, like I said, I'm pragmatically woo-woo, right? I'll talk to you to death about spreadsheets and data analysis and all of that good juicy stuff in life. And then I can talk to you about working with your energy body. And for me, even talking with you and sharing with our listeners that there is that part of me, there is that quote unquote woo-woo part of me, the scariest part of my sharing it is that it feels like it's been popularized. And it's something totally different for me. It's something very personal. And so when I talk about what works for a client, it may or may not be energy work. They may think energy work is the craziest thing they've ever heard about. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But what is it for them that they can then recenter themselves on, right? Where can they bring themselves back to the most authentic core part of themselves? Because again, it goes back to, we are all individuals on this earth. We are all human beings, and we all deserve to respect ourselves for that, like we respect everybody else, or we should be. And I don't use should very often, but we really should be respecting other humans probably a lot more than a lot of humans are right now.
Well, and I love that too, Kim, because I mean, this is why we're the kids in the back of the class talking behind our folder, because it's the same for me, where it's like, I'm careful about how I talk about my spirituality and my woo-woo-ness, that's my new word of the day, because it's so personal and it's so individual. And I'm also very respectful that other people's experiences are different than mine. So when I say I feel sad, I might experience that feeling, physical feeling, different than someone else. And so I try to be mindful when I'm talking about it. And I think it's become, I've erred on the side of overcaution with it, because I want to make sure people understand what I'm meaning, and I can't ensure that. But it is such an important and fundamental part of who I am as a person, as a coach, as a human in the world. And so I really appreciate you speaking to that, just because it's different and not everybody consciously gets it. I feel like they get it on some level, but not always front of the mind level.
So one of my favorite questions to ask people is, what is your spirit animal, or who is your spirit animal?
I can give you a quick answer, but we talked about this and it's all of them.
Yeah. I love that about you, Nikki. They're all of them. Does anybody else have a spirit animal? Well, Sarah, I think we think yours is a sloth, but like.
I think she called it hers a sloth.
Yeah.
I said mine was a sloth, but it's actually a rhino.
Oh, that's so cool.
They're called a crash of rhino.
Yep. Mm. I have a tattoo of a rhino on my side, and her name is Rosie, and it's a long story, but I love rhinos. That is my spirit animal.
That's awesome. How do you hear that story?
How do you know? Yeah, me too. How do you know what your spirit animal is?
Thank you, Louise.
I don't know what mine is. How do I find this out?
So for me, it comes to me in a vision. To me, it is when I'm meditating and I'm all of a sudden visited by either I can visually see it, or I can feel the energy or the feeling that feels like there's something there. So there is, for me, I have several as well. So I have a playful otter that plays in front of me. I have an entire, I don't know what they're called, a flock of flamingos. what are they called? What's a whole bunch of flamingos? I don't know what they're called, but
a whole bunch of flamingos?
It's a whole bunch of flamingos. So I have a whole bunch of flamingos over to my right, and they tend to kind of push me forward. They like do their dances. And then if I'm not propelling myself forward, they kind of push me forward. I have an owl over my left shoulder, and I have a hawk that guides me in front of me. So
I have to go back because I Googled it. It's called the flamboyance of flamingos.
Yes.
It's a what?
A flamboyance of flamingos.
I love that.
That feels appropriate.
It does. I read it and I started laughing. I'm like, oh yes, Kim, you have a flamboyance.
I do have a flamboyance. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I just asked Siri that too. And when I saw flamboyance, I just started laughing. I was like, him to stop talking for a minute so I can talk.
I'm like, she's gonna be so happy when she hears this.
Not a flock.
Any group of birds can be a flock. That's what Google said, but specifically it is a flamboyance of flamingos.
Thank you, Google and Siri, as well as Nikki and Sarah, for figuring that out. So it's just something that comes to you, or you feel a special affinity towards an animal, and that their energy or their presence just brings you a little bit more comfort, a little bit more joy. So it's one of those things. Stevie Nicks is my other spirit animal, so there's that.
Yeah, Stacey London is my human spirit animal, so I understand that.
Mine is
so
pink.
Funny.
Mine is pink.
Yes, it is.
I think most days my spirit animal is a squirrel.
Oh,
squirrel
energy is pretty squirrel. Good though.
Yeah, I love that.
Especially Kim, watching them torment my dog.
I was just, I wanted to just kind of speak into the space because as we talk about having these visions and these connections, as you were speaking, Kim, about bringing these tools and these resources to your clients and to our listeners, to everyone that you interact with, to your family, your daughter, that I just had this really clear vision of you standing there with your hand out saying, come this way that you haven't come before, and let's see what we can find together.
Yeah, it's so true. Thank you, Louise. It is so true. I feel like I'm just going to say it, with humanity. I mean, because I can't even pick. It's not clients. It's not family. It's everybody. It's humanity. I do feel like my hand is out and it's just, I've got you. That's really the message. I've got you. You're going to be okay. I've got you.
Well, and even though we're in a COVID 6 feet away space, Louise described Kim as the human version of a hug. And so I picture you with both arms open going, come here, let me give you a snuggle.
That's the second. Like if they're willing to take the hand, let's go all the way in for the hug.
That's right. COVID notwithstanding.
Yeah.
I'm with really permission. Good at air hugs at this point.
But there's just something about a good cuddle with somebody who really knows how to hug and just hold you and be there with you. And that's one of the gifts of just being around Kim, is you just leave feeling hugged, even if it's via Zoom.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. So Kim, I wanted to know, as we kind of wrap up a little bit here today, if there was something that I should have asked you that I didn't know enough to ask.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so funny because it's like there's a million things that you didn't ask because you didn't know to ask. And I wouldn't even know where to begin. I think, it goes back to kind of what I've already said, is that we're all humans. We all have this messy life that we're living. None of us are doing it perfectly. None of us, no matter what your Instagram or Facebook or whatever feed tells you about somebody else, nobody is living it perfectly. Nobody has their shit together. We're all struggling on some level. And if we can just see the humanity in each other just a little more deeply, just a little more closely, then we have an opportunity to really make this lifetime that we're here sparkle. Absolutely sparkle and glitter and shine. And that's my hope for all of us. That's for everybody who's listening, but for everybody who's not listening, is that we all have that opportunity to sparkle and glitter and shine. And I'm going to try really hard to not cry now.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, deep breath.
Yeah.
So before we jump into the lightning round, I was wondering if you can tell our listeners what you have currently going on what's maybe coming up for you and how they can reach out and connect with you by hand or by hug.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely. So coming up on September 10th, I have an online virtual visualization workshop helping us identify where we are, where we want to go, and visualize a future for ourselves. And then you'll leave that with one or two action steps to send you in the right direction. We're not going to fix everything in the short workshop, but it gives you a chance to really dive into and play with visualization for your own future. And if you've never had an opportunity to do that, it's really empowering. And then on September 30th, I start my 12-week Balance is Bullshit training program. This will be somewhat self-directed in that you can listen to in your own time. Nothing will take more than 5 to 10 minutes a day because I know everybody's overwhelmed. But you'll also have an opportunity for once a month to do a visualization workshop with me, as well as group coaching. One of the things that if you take part in the training program as well, that I will highly encourage you to do is to make dark chocolate a really, really, really good friend of yours, because the process of doing this deep inner work and working through letting go of the concept of balance and leaning into this harmonious life, you need a little chocolate on your side.
I love that.
Oh, and where they can find me. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can find me at harmoniouslifecoach.com. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Harmonious Life Coach as well. And you can find me on LinkedIn at Kim Romaine.
So if I wanted to sign up for your workshops or your training program, would I just reach out and connect with you on your website?
Yes, you can go right to my website. All the information is there. You can also join my newsletter, which gives you 12 weeks of content as well towards releasing the idea of balance.
Beautiful. I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So the lightning round. Here we go. Ooh, are you ready? Is everyone sure. ready?
Yeah. Where's the dun-da-da-dun?
Dun-da-da-dun! I couldn't find the unmute button fast enough.
You got it. You pulled it through.
All right. So here we go. Kim, What is the best part of the pizza?
The crust.
Oh, good God. I was just thinking, don't you dare say crust.
See, I love the cheese. Well, but it's too hard. I mean, actually probably the best part. I'm going to take that back. Well, no, it is still the crust. It is still the crust because it's making the crust. It's making the pizza. And I love...
hard question for Kim.
They're all hard for me. They're all. There's a reason why my daughter tells you that her favorite color is rainbow, because none of us can make a freaking decision to save our lives. But no, it's making the pizza, but my favorite part is actually making the dough. I love the feel of kneading the dough. So there's that.
All right, cool. All right. What's the best thing on your nightstand right now?
Oh, wow. Glad you're answering that.
After dark, here we go.
I think she just did. You just have to say right now.
That's so funny. So it's really fun. No, like, yeah, it, my nightstand is this pitifully small little thing that is toppling over with books. But the best thing on my nightstand right now is a roll of KT tape.
All right. Not the answer I was expecting.
I know.
With that laugh, I thought it'd be way different.
Right? I am here to turn your world upside down.
Sure are.
And it's funny, in my head, because I was like, oh, for me, it's Kleenex. And then I was like, oh, that is maybe the wrong answer too. But it's because my allergies are so bad that that is my most precious nightstand thing right now.
Yep, I hear you.
Oh, I love it.
The second one on my nightstand, because I can never just have one. The second best thing on my nightstand, are you ready? Is a highlighter.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Do you draw do you draw on your husband's face while he's sleeping or something?
That would be fun, but no.
It's back.
I draw all sorts of things. No. Because I have my toppling over books, so I need my highlighter so that I can, because I don't highlight fiction, but like a lot of it is nonfiction and I need my highlighter.
All right. What is the best thing in your closet?
No. Shit. I know. The best thing in my closet is all of my artwork that I have nowhere to store anywhere else.
Oh, that's sad.
No, it's not sad. I have it. It's like, it's all there. It's trying to find a home, but there's like, my house is packed with art.
Send something to me. I have walls.
Okay.
All right. What is the best kind of holiday or vacation or whatever you want to call it? What is the best kind of vacation?
I love holiday. Holiday.
I was going to say Christmas, right. But you're talking about
well, not in my
that
world.
Border.
Oh, that's right.
Not
that,
in my world.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Hanukkah.
The best part of a holiday or the best type of a holiday?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're not having one this year. Thank you, COVID. It's any holiday. It would be awesome right now. But breathing fresh air and being in beautiful spaces.
You just made up for
Did everybody else? Did everybody else just breathe?
Yeah.
Totally.
Well,
there.
And what I was picturing was last year we did a nearly cross-country road trip and we did 6 national parks, including Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons. And I was picturing the most beautiful place where we were in the Tetons, where I could just happily be for the rest of my days.
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm. I love that. All right. And our last question here in the lightning round, what's the best part of your story?
That I'm still writing it.
I love that.
And I don't need a second one for that.
I was going to say, oh, that was a beautiful answer. And then we all wait for Kim to say more.
And there is no more.
But it was so lovely. It didn't need anything else.
Well, and I believe that is just a perfect way to wrap up our episode here today. And I want to thank Kim and everyone for really stepping into our space today. And I'm sending all my love and gratitude to my co-hosts, Nikki, Sarah, and Laura, and a great big squishy hug to Kim. Thank you for a beautiful conversation today. And most of all, I want to thank you, listener, for taking the time today to be very intentional here around making time for yourself and connecting with us. Check out the show notes for all the links and the content mentioned here today. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today for another episode of the Best Parts Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would love it if you would share this podcast on social media or with anyone else you think would enjoy it. After all, sharing is caring. And be sure to leave a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts, as it helps others find us. If you'd like to connect with us, you can find us on Instagram at thebestparts.com or head over to our website at thebestparts.podbean.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, remember that all the parts are the best parts.